Joshua 24, verse 28. Verse 28 could be a group of the last section too, but I'm just going to launch from there. Joshua 24, 28. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. It came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, in the south of, on the south of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt, in Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's son. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in Gibeah of Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. Let's pray. Lord, as we've always seen, these great men have come to the end of their lives and left a heritage. Some have been given a lot to leave, and some have been given a little to leave, for us to see, but Lord, it is great that they have been here and done what they did. And we honor their name, and as to the degree that they have followed you and you've used them. But Lord, we honor you, of course, as overall. Help us as we conclude this book and how we're to remember these things and be mindful of what lessons they leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's pretty common, especially in hilly country. I saw it a lot in North Carolina, where a house will put a deck up, and the deck will be out over really a hollow or just nothing. And they will take these posts, and they will prop it up from the ground and make sure that it's got support so that it doesn't, you know, when somebody stands on the end of it. And most people assume that that's been done from the top side. If you walk out on a deck of somebody's house you may be visiting, you probably didn't shimmy under and look and make sure it was supported. You assumed it was supported. And that's just part of building. And you can't do without those supports. They would, in time, if pretty soon probably, cave in or fall, and somebody would take it down. We would just assume if we step in somebody's house, on their porch, in their yard, that it's safe to do so, that the things that need to be supported are supported. You miss it when it's gone, but it's there for a reason, to hold up the deck. That is a foundation. And the Lord makes a lot of uses of foundation when he speaks about our lives. Without a foundation, we're seeing that in our country now in the world. Without a foundation, you get blown about by every breeze. Somebody says something to you and you may be swayed by it. We're to be in the Word so that every wind of doctrine does not throw us around. We should be able enough to stand strong regardless. And that is from the foundation that is built for us from the Lord's word and from the people like Joshua, Moses, Abraham, others, mentioned Hebrews 11, that have given us an example and given us the word of God. And that is a gift. To be able to stand and know what you believe and know what's true and know what's right, I think we take it for granted in really, I guess we should in some ways, but not forget to thank God for it. But we take it for granted that we know things that the world does not know. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. We just sang that. And that is the way the scriptures talk about people. They're groping in darkness. They have no light. They have no foundation. They have no place to stand. And then they, by their nature, fight against the gospel and stir up more trouble for themselves and more confusion for the world. Jesus, when speaking of his doctrine, said his words are like building your house on a rock. And the winds and waves, and they come and the rain falls and it does not move it. But those who do not listen to his words, this includes every religious teacher outside of Jesus who founded a religion, anybody who goes against what Jesus says, you're building on sand. The waves come in and knock it over. It falls, and great is its fall. And when your life is put on something that cannot hold it up, it is a terrible fall. There's a lot of reference to forefathers in the Bible, to history, to teaching, to the acts of God, to remembering. Monuments are erected. Of course, they'd be defaced and knocked down today. They're erected to remind people and to be an aid and a testimony to their faithfulness. The New Jerusalem, you'll remember, was described as having a foundation of, you know, the 12 stones, and the foundation were the apostles, and the 12 gates were the tribes of Israel, to recall again that it's from the Lord. It's a wonder, really, in the current climate, that we have any genuine history left, because it's not just a recent thing. People for a long time have been redoing history, which is something you can actually do, although it won't change history. You can write about the future and make it up. Nobody can say it's wrong unless it's contradicting the scripture, which is predicting something. But you can make up a story about the future and what you do in the future, and it's nobody can say. But in the past, it's done. And you can't destroy that. You can't, by, you know, pitching a fit, get rid of that. And it is so silly today. But again, our Bible teaches us that people are foolish, that people do walk in darkness. I heard last Christmas that white Christmas was racist, white Christmas. And then this week, Cindy heard and informed me that chess, the game of chess, is racist because white moves first. And you can't really measure the foolishness that is being poured out right now. And we know biblically, and we know there's a movement to destroy. We know about Marxism. We can talk about that kind of stuff. But what is happening is, it'd be like building something with no lights and putting it together in the dark. Sometimes you see somebody who would go to school, and you'd ask them if they got dressed in the dark, because they weren't matching. They got stripes and all that, and we even knew that couldn't be. Well, the darkness is pervasive in the world, and there is so much and so much weakness and cowardice in the world. And Jesus brings that up with the cowards will have their part in the lake of fire. Because you've got to stand for the word of God and the principles of truth. People don't generally do that. They give in, they surrender, they appease, and it just makes it worse. So when we deal with something solid, we want to deal with the Lord. The most solid foundation we have is the Lord. And from the Lord, people like Joshua and Moses and Abraham and Joseph, people who made a difference, set an example, stood firm, did things that needed to be done, served the Lord. And we see shameful deeds sometimes. David did some shameful things. David did some very, very good things. Both happens. Israel is an example mostly of what not to do. But it's an example. Solomon had a good part of his life and he had a bad part of his life. And then I think he had went back to being good again. Those are examples. If you put up a statue of Solomon and tear it down, he still had the same life. He still started good, still had a bad spell, and then had a good spell after. You just can't change that. But this is what's happening today, that people are really rejecting, and the most rejected person is God. All the other things are just entrails from that. The world has already told God that he is a hateful being because the laws that he has laid out against homosexuality, the same-sex stuff, the changing your genders and all those things. God has already said that he made male and female. The Bible says those things. They've already waged war against God, and so all this is just, mopping up. Once you leave God, you're not on solid ground. And it's no wonder that people are way, 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 way off. And you may be like I've been, thinking that people had gone just about as far as you can go on the wacko meter. And then you find out they're way past that. You just can't keep up with it. And some of the fixes are so easy. Men are pretending to be women in high school and playing against women athletes in high school, and I can't believe it. They're killing them. They're outrunning them. They're all that stuff because of biology, which they used to teach in school. And what are we going to do about that? And they go, I don't know. What can we do? I know they're women because they said they were. You remember when on Halloween, if you dressed up like Batman? Well, you're Batman. No, I'm Batman. Why? Because I'm dressed up that way? No, it's way back into the far reaches of ignorance. Well, here we have in the end of this book three burials. We have Joshua in his inheritance in the hill country of Ephraim. Joseph's bones, which were brought up from Egypt, were buried in Shechem. And that was hundreds of years. Maybe before that, hundreds of years. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, at Gibeah on the property of his son Phinehas. So this ends, as we saw at the end of Genesis, Joseph died. And before Joseph, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob died. And Moses died at the end of Deuteronomy, Aaron. And Joshua took over the leadership. And now Joshua dies. And the next book after this, Judges, is one of the more chaotic books in the Bible. The value of following, adhering to good leadership and primarily following the Lord is absolutely essential. And it's something that people get away from pretty quickly. All the things happening in our land today, you don't have to go back more than a few years and find out that it would not be happening. Nobody would think the way they think today. I could speak about the philosophy, I think, that's brought it in. It's my own opinion that it's postmodernism. It's a belief that there's no way to know truth. You can't know truth absolutely anymore. That's similar to a lot of other philosophies that have led up to it. But there was before a black and white, and then everything got kind of gray, and now everything is black. You can't know anything. And it brings out all these other things, and even immigration is part of that. But history moves in an absolute way, and that is the way the Lord moves it. And we do not have the ability to change that. We can't resist the throne of God. And what's happening today? People are trying to do that. They're not thinking of that. They're trying to create a new society. New societies generally are not better, and especially the ones that are brought about by violence. I think our United States actually got a good deal out of that with the Revolution. It brought in freedom, which they thought was lacking with the king in England. So we've benefited from that. I think ever since we got the freedom, the other side has been trying to take it back. That's just the way of the world. But the faithfulness of people draws from the Lord. And if we're faithful to the Lord, then we're good for society. Joshua did all he could. We've seen at the end here how Joshua has let people know, if choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He has laid it out as clearly as he can and said that they've got to take it now and do with it what they are supposed to do. When you mail a letter, you put it in the mailbox, you put the flag up, and you entrust the mailman or the mailwoman to pick it up and get it to where it's supposed to go to ship out to wherever it gets to. If that process works, then you delivered the mail. If not, then it failed. So there is, in Joshua, he's giving the next generation the baton. You've got to run with it now. You got to take it. And so Joshua pointed them to the person of the Lord and the law of the Lord. And all that the Lord had previously said to them and done for them. You'll note in the text that the people who were alive in that time followed the Lord because they remembered his works. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. That didn't always work for the people. Remember, it didn't work after they left Egypt and got across the Red Sea and they were unbelievers on the other side. But as long as you remember that in a very practical way, remember the works of the Lord, the character of the Lord, what God has said, then you're good. And that is how you build your character. And a lot of people today don't have good character, because that is something that is built up through absolute things that you can rest upon. As Jesus said, if you do not build your life on me, then your life is built on something that will fall apart and betray you. You can't stand in these times. And so what do we see today? People coming up and spouting some kind of Marxist ideology, and then people just go with it. Some. And there are people, and we could deal with it in a church setting, you're always going to hear other beliefs. You're always going to hear people say that this is what the Bible says and this is what the Bible says and on and on. If I was foolish enough to go on the internet and look at all the sites where people talked about their opinion about Jesus, I'd have lost my hair a long time before I did, but just pulling it out, it was just make you crazy. Some people actually do go and they classify this and that's been said. I don't know how they do it. It's just it'd be hard to endure it. But there's a problem. If your character is not good, then you can't act properly. And this is revealed a lot in our day. I only heard about this, I guess, yesterday. Day before. Yeah, I guess the day before. Where NASCAR had this thing where there was said to be a noose in a garage. And there's a black NASCAR driver, and it was there. And NASCAR had a fit. And they did everything they could to distance themselves from this hate crime. It turned out it was a broken cable on a door. And it wasn't a noose. It wasn't a hate symbol. It was something like if you wanted to grab a hold of something, you'd put a loop in the end of it and pull it, have a thing to pull it. I was telling Mike before, I've got a racist futon at home. It's got a little loop at that where there's a strap you pull it up and with. So, but the character issue is, what are you going to do once you find out it wasn't really what it was said to be? And I was I don't know this race car driver at all, but he wouldn't say it was not a noose. And, you know, I wonder what would cause that. And it's got to get down to character. Again, I don't know him. But that's not a good, maybe he's protecting somebody. But these men who are notable men, you've got to have character. And your character has to be formed from truth, and that is from God. And there's so many characters who do not adhere to the truth. And so we see at the end here what is truth and how that is handled. Take, for example, the bones of Joseph. Now, Joseph, remember, went down into Egypt before all of Israel. And he was sold into slavery into Egypt. He was a slave of Egypt and imprisoned after a while for a few years. And he rose to be, you know, second to Pharaoh. Great authority, saved the world, basically. He saved Israel, who had no food. His father and all the brethren came down, and they lived there, and they grew, and they got to be millions of people. And Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh came. Didn't know Joseph, and then they were persecuted, and then the Exodus took place after the Lord delivered them through Moses. Well, Joseph in Genesis 50, as he was dying, gave them a command to carry his bones out of Egypt. Genesis 50, verse 24, Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land into the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." You see what he says? He says, God is going to take you out of this land because he said he would. That's faith. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. That's the end of Genesis. In Exodus 13, verse 19, as they were leaving the land, we're told, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, For he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. It's impressive that they remembered that after all that time. But they did. And Hebrews 11:22 says about Joseph, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones, because he knew God would do what he said he would do. And if we attach ourselves to what God is doing, and attach ourselves to the person of God, and attach ourselves to the truth of God, we'll be solid. We also see here that Eleazar died, the priest, son of Aaron. They buried him. So you got a new thing coming in Judges. It just, people die. And what's always after that is what's next. The thing about Israel is they are an example of what happens naturally when you don't know the Lord. You have all the revelation and you don't know the Lord. And it fades from any practical use. Stephen preached in Acts 7. They were unable to beat him in an argument. He was winning all the arguments and convicting them of sin and telling them they were wrong and that Jesus was the Messiah. But they didn't listen to that. They fought against him. So he gave a sermon and he talked about it, the history of Israel from Abraham all the way to Solomon. And what God did here and what God did here and all these things. How Moses performed miracles and got them out of Egypt. How Israel committed idolatry in the wilderness right at Mount Sinai. And how they persecuted the prophets. How they made themselves opponents of God with all the life. Stephen said, which of the prophets did the fathers not persecute? They killed those who were previously announcing the coming of the righteous one. They betrayed and murdered the righteous one. And they received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. So that's the end of his message to them. That they took all of that to make them solid. All of that to make them firm. And they rejected it. What can you do then? If you're taught, as I was, I went to driver's training summer. I was 15. And you know what? The instructor was the principal and the football coach. We lived in perpetual fear of him. He wasn't a big man, but if he got a hold of you with those eyes and, you know, he was in there with the car. He was a nice man, really. He insisted that we drive with our hands on the steering wheel. He even told us where to put them. 10 and 2. And, you know, if we rejected that, what happens? He would take over because he had a little app set up over on the other side. But you can't stay on the road. You can't live a solid life. You make so many mistakes. You make so many bad choices. You aren't able to keep away the destructive forces that are in you. We have enough in us to kill us. And it's because people don't follow the Lord. They ran at Stephen when he said that last thing about how they had not kept the law, and they stopped their ears and couldn't listen to him. It's like today. They stopped their ears. They don't listen to it. They don't listen to it. And they killed him, stoned him. For what? Trying to get them to be solid before they face God in judgment. Isn't that a terrible thing? So they thought, we'll get rid of Stephen, out of sight, out of mind. We'll relieve our conscience by suppressing it and run away from our sin and not be forgiven for it, which is being offered in the gospel. And they raged against repentance, and they raged against changing and against guilt and against condemnation. Oh, we can't hear any of that. We can't hear any of that. No, no, no. And they stopped their ears. And they loved their own way so much and hated God so much in his way that they preferred to go to hell than to listen to what Stephen had to say. And I'm assuming the most of them got their wish. And that's how, that is Israel, a society that once, and this is Israel here, a society that once was following the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders that followed Joshua. And here in the New Testament, their Messiah comes in their midst and they can't recognize him when he's walking in their midst and doing miracles in their midst. And when the gospel's proclaimed, they can't bear it. They can't let anybody speak of it. They kill Christians. They kill Stephen. You can always find a mob to oppose God. And people who are entrenched in sin don't want to hear the message of deliverance because they don't even want to hear that they're guilty of anything. Most popular preachers are the ones that tell everyone they're okay. And you can't be solid that way. So we get to the end of the book, like we do at the end of any part of sections of Scripture. In history, it's always the same. The lesson we learn of history and the men in history is that God is faithful and God is King and the Lord, God Almighty. And you can't change that. There's no do-over in this life. You can't change it. And we remember these men as recipients of the grace of God and people who were firm. Joshua was told several times at the beginning of the book, you know, be strong and courageous. And I think he did it. He was strong and courageous. And in the end, he was strong and courageous. He was telling people, you know, you want more land, go clear your land you got. Get the forest cleared off. He was firm. And he did his job. And then he died. And you're left with something solid. It can quickly be abandoned. Or it can be built. And of course, these are given to us so that we can build on our faith and be solid. Because there's no way to be solid unless we follow the Lord. Any thoughts or comments you have?